This week, it's Man versus Beast. Hi, I'm Mark Rush with the Environment Report's Story of the Week. And this is the next to last Environment Report Story of the Week. Sad for all of us here at the Story of the Week desk. That's mainly me, but we're going on to bigger and better things. I'll tell you more about it at the end of our podcast. Now, back to our story. More and more people are moving into areas that are natural habitats for animals. And a lot of people are finding that the animals don't want to move out of the neighborhood. Kyle Norris reports that this can make for some interesting interactions.
Get this. Woodpeckers want to live inside Tom Winowski's house.
There's a hole, and when you're in the house, here's what you hear. You're in the house, and you hear this. And you know you're being attacked.
Winowski's not so keen on sharing his house with the woodpeckers. He managed to scare that one away. But then another woodpecker made a pretty good-sized hole on the other side of the house. Winowski put up one of those menacing plastic owls, you know, to scare the woodpecker away. And he thinks it's working. He'll probably even buy another plastic owl. You know, with those cute eyes all wide. Winowski lives in a suburb, but it's sort of out in the country. It's got dirt roads and, you know, lots of trees and lots of wildlife in the area. Winowski started having problems with animals pretty much the day they moved into the house. Actually, he can list off his problems to the ABCs.
Well, let's start with A. Ants haven't been a big problem. There's been a few, but none in the house, and they're out there, so leave them alone. B. You have bees and bats.
Okay, so this could go on for a while, so I'm going to jump in here. Bats were living in the attic. Carpenter bees chewed holes in the siding. So for D, you've got deer. The deer ate pretty much all the landscape plants. Okay, so now let's jump to F. There was this fox. It had been living in Winowski's drainage ditch, and it would bury its kill in the lawn. You know, things like dead smelly skunks. Yeah. So one day, Winowski was getting his mail, and the fox came strolling out of the woods, and they locked eyes. Winowski noticed that the fox was small and red and beautiful, but he was tired of dealing with it.
So I took this rock and I put it in front of the drainage ditch hole, and he watched me do that. Like, it was almost like, what are you doing to me here? So then he went next door and went in their drainage ditch.
Winowski's not the only guy who's battling it out with the wildlife. As people keep moving into areas near wildlife, there are problems. I mean, at a certain point, it starts to feel like...
In this corner, with acres of ravaged lawns and gardens to their credit, we have the wildlife. And in this corner, with a hoe, live traps, and a BB gun, we have the human homeowners.
But experts say it does not actually have to be us versus them. Jennifer Kleitch is a wildlife technician with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. She says people need to realize they're part of the problem. You know, dog food outside is a free meal for coyotes. And people who mow their lawns all the way to the edge of a pond create paradise for geese, short grass near water. And then there's this kind of thing, which can happen with raccoons.
If we leave all our garbage and they get into it, we get mad and they're being a nuisance, but we are, in essence, responsible for them being there and being drawn to it.
She says people tend to look at it as if animals are the problem. But the people moved into the animals' neighborhood. Stephen Van Tassel says we're conflicted about wildlife. He's a wildlife damage educator with the University of Nebraska Lincoln Extension Office.
We tend to have the Disney effect with wildlife, and that is wildlife are wonderful and they're beautiful, and we have these sort of rather pastoral images of a person walking through a deep forest and seeing the deer in the distance. And then that attitude can change dramatically when they see that same deer ravaging a plant they paid $500 for to have put in their backyard.
He says when people start thinking of wildlife as evil, as in, that thing that tore up my flower bed is evil. Well, that can be bad. The animals are not the enemy. They're part of the environment, the same environment that people want to live in. So Tom Winowski, you know, the ABC guy? Yeah, well, he says his perspective has changed a little over time. He still thinks that if animals are destroying his property, yeah, well, then they've got to go. But he's starting to realize that there are things he can do to discourage the wildlife from damaging his property without waging war. He's kind of getting into it, actually. He started reading up on different animals, and he says he likes and respects animals, even the mole tearing up his lawn. He thought it was a whole colony. Turned out it was just one mole, but one heck of a hard-working mole. Experts say there are a lot of things you can do that are simple and easy to prevent problems, like modify bird feeders to guard against squirrels. chimney caps discourage uninvited guests from dropping in. And people can fill in cracks and crevices around their home to stop things like bees and mice from sneaking in. But the experts say that the best thing is to cool your jets. Stop viewing the animal as the problem and realize that the animal's just trying to do its thing. As for the wildlife around Tom Winowski's place, yeah, well, they're stalled at the letter W, which is the first letter in his last name. The animals are still trying to learn how to live with him. For the Environment Report, I'm Kyle Norris.
And that's our story for this week. Here's a little tip for you. At my house, I've managed to keep the mice at bay by stuffing steel wool in the little openings around my house. It's helpful to have a mirror and go around your house and find the little crevices and stuff some steel wool in there. Works really well. Okay, that's enough Bob Vila for you. What was I talking about at the top of our podcast? Well, we're changing up our podcasts. On Monday, March 17th, St. Paddy's Day, we'll be offering up a daily podcast. This podcast, the Story of the Week podcast, will go away, but our full-length sister podcast is the one to watch. Be sure to get that podcast plugged into your iTunes software, and you'll be all set for our daily launch. We're pumped up, and we want your feedback as we develop our daily podcast on the fly. To find us in iTunes, search for Environment Report, and our full-length podcast should be the first one that pops up in the list. Okay, that's the big news. I'll be back next week for our final Story of the Week cast, so until then, have a great week.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gunn Foundation, and the Great Lakes Fishery Trust. Have something to say? Send your thoughts to feedback@environmentreport.org.